I think
we're live.
We did it. We did it. We broke the algorithm. All right. See, as I was saying, I guess we're live, folks. So stay tuned and stay on live on Instagram. But nevertheless, thank you so much for all of your efforts. For those that don't know, we just experienced another issue with our servers. There's some internet crash in the world. I have no idea what it's tied to, but it impacted Restream and our show. So Sia, kudos to you. I know it took a lot of work to get us here, and we're actually live now, so this is amazing.
You're welcome, my friend. I did absolutely nothing other than text them and be like, why are we not working? And so there you go, my friend.
Nope, it took a lot of effort. Don't kid yourself. We've been doing this, working on this since 9 o'clock, so for 2 hours. But I know this is my favorite time of the year. And I wanted to ask you quickly, like, what do you think about now that it's fall, we're changing seasons? Like, what are some things that come to mind for you?
Okay, first and foremost, I love the fall. It's my favorite. I love the changing of just, it's like the heat intensity of summertime. And it's like kind of making way for the calmer, peaceful, cooler weather. And quite frankly, I think the older I've gotten, the more I don't love summer and the more I love fall. So I'm loving like the opportunity to like sit by a cozy fireplace and have that warm, you know, cocoa or coffee or tea, you know, and chill with a book, good podcast, like the Peel. But yeah, but one thing I don't like, the older I'm getting, the allergies. Everyone that's out there, watch what you eat and whatnot so you can shorten your allergies, because it's killing me right now, my friend.
I could tell you're struggling. You've been sneezing backstage like crazy, so thanks for chugging through and plowing through. For me, this time of year means so many things. As you know, I'm a diehard sports fan, Chicago sports nut, right? This week is one of the few times in the year where like all the major sports are playing, right? So the Chicago Blackhawks have already started their season, the Bears are playing, unfortunately the Cubs and Sox aren't, but Major League Baseball still going. And then I think it's Wednesday, the Bulls start. So we have like all four major league teams, you know, pro teams playing at once, which is a super cool thing. And then, of course, it's gala season, right? I have so many upcoming amazing events and partnerships that I just want to highlight coming up. We have the SLSF, the Special Leisure Services Foundation, which we've had Anne and Megan and Liz on previously, and Journeys and Beth Neighbors Power. She's been on before as well. I'm serving a few high schools in the region, Notre Dame and Bishop McNamara coming up. And then we're, you know, Giving Tuesday is an event we really highlighted last year. We're getting ready to do another Streamathon, which we're like 60% full of guests already. So I don't know. We might have to extend the 2-hour Streamathon to 3 if you're cool with that, Sia. But on Giving Tuesday, go ahead. Yeah, I know. You're going to say yes.
I have no life. Sure, why not?
I know. That's why I love you. But in another cool thing that just happened, Jerry's Cafe in Arlington Heights, Illinois is an amazing cafe, employing people age 22 and older with various abilities, making sure that they can have a good thriving life and being employed in a welcoming environment. And on after the Streamathon that night at the Arlington Ale House, I'll be calling bingo once again for their bingo Giving Tuesday event. And so I'm super excited to have that. And speaking of bingo, as you know, we supported Brandwin Lee and the Making Strides Against Breast Cancer Foundation fundraise effort. And I'm happy to say this is the most she's ever raised, well over $6,000 for breast cancer research. And wow. I was super happy to help her by calling bingo as well. And of course, without our partnerships, you know, we would not be. And of course, we have some amazing sponsors too, Sia. It's also tattoo season for me. I feel like I've been with Patrick the last few times. Over the last few months, getting some awesome updates on my Pearl Jam mural. But if you don't know, Patrick Cornolo and Speakeasy Custom Tattoo are located in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago in the historic Flatiron Building. With over 30 years of experience, they have a curated staff of magnificently talented local and international artists, and they continue to host monthly guests from all over the world. Speakeasy is an appointment-only custom tattoo shop offering a wide range of styles in the most clean and relaxing atmosphere. Whatever it is you're looking for, they will absolutely help make your vision come to life. So please be sure to check out their artists on their website at www.speakeasycustomtattoo.com. Be sure to tell them Chris sent you, And it's quite possible you'll see me in the chair next to you when you go there next. So Sia, as you know, I'm a fan of tattoos, and I'm also a fan of that amazing intro you created for the show. So let's get this thing started, huh?
Let's do it. Oh.
Come on.
Well, maybe internet. Not.
Oh, no. Well, that's all right.
Oh, no.
Still having
Hold on
issues.
A second. We're having, wait, minor issues. I can't play the video. Hold, please.
We'll give it one more good effort. You know how much I love that. I feel like I'm at a rock concert. And speaking of rock concerts, sadly, you rejected my offer to come next month to visit the Smashing Pumpkins at the Lyric Opera House of Chicago, celebrating Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness. 30-year anniversary. You're not coming. It breaks my heart.
Look, if it wasn't for the fact I had responsibilities, I would 100% make it because I...
So you're saying you have a life. Like,
I may just show up just because, like, at this point, like, I'm so torn because I'm like, because I know we had to make a decision, and I was like,
I know,
I can't commit. So I was like, oh, just give my ticket away to someone local or one of your buddies.
I'm still holding it. But as you know, you and I have both been to millions of concerts, and for me, one of the most necessary and needed things after going to a show is like a good hot shower, right? And legit. It kind of leads me into today's guest, Paul Schmitz with Shower Up, and just hearing about the amazing work they do for the unhoused or homeless populations in 7 cities across America. Shower Up serves those experiencing homelessness and anyone in need by providing mobile showers, laundry, hygiene resources, and personal care. It's their goal to shower grace, hope, and love with everyone. Of course, Shower Up is a nonprofit organization. And Sia, as much as I would love to keep you on and razz you about not coming to the Pumpkins next month, we got to get to Paul and hear about the amazing work of Shower Up.
I appreciate it. I'm so excited for this conversation. You guys have some serious, great conversation. And hi, Paul. Bye, guys. Have a great chat.
Hey, guys.
Well, thank you so much for joining me and accepting this invitation on The Appeal. You know, I'm so excited to have this conversation to learn not only about all the amazing things Shower Up does and is to people across the United States, frankly. And obviously you serve here in my backyard in the Chicagoland area, which excites me even more. But you have like a super cool background. Like you took a unique path. And so I want to just give you the stage, welcome you. And just if you don't mind, tell folks who you are, how you got to be where you're at, and what Shower Up's all about.
Yeah, Chris, I appreciate that, man. Thank you so much. So Paul Schmitz is my name, and I am an Illinois guy, born and raised in the Peoria area, and then spent really most of my life in Christian radio, spent 35 plus years in Christian radio. And during that time, obviously, you know, I had a lot going on in my life, and, you know, and there was a lot of opportunity to do some things that were, you know, involved in the community. But it really was kind of just about 10, 15 years ago that I really got involved in serving and caring for those who are experiencing homelessness, for the people that you see on the street. And what really happened was a transformation happened in my heart that God really kind of started and then grew. It wasn't one of those things where you kind of go, well, I feel like I have to do this. I feel like I need to do this. It was more like a compelling thing because my heart changed. And as we started, my family and I started serving and providing meals and clothing, we really started having conversations with people. And it's the conversations, you know, when like what we're doing right now, when you sit down and get someone's story and you really dig into who they are and not just kind of go, so why are you homeless? You know, when you sit down and talk about people and you see, you hear their story and you share your story and you talk about sports and you talk about the weather and you talk about all the different things that we all talk about, you build friendships. We began to see that there was a real need for something like hygiene. And we started doing some research and realized if you're experiencing homelessness, you know, okay, you're probably going to be able to find a place to get a meal at least once a day. You're gonna probably find a place where you can get some basic services, mental health care and things like that. There are great resources for that. One thing that's really hard is finding a place to get a shower. Well, you and I both know that if you don't have a shower, what are the odds going to be that you're going to want to get a job, be able to keep a job, feel like, you know, you're putting your best foot forward. And so that was really kind of the start of what Shower Up began and became, was this idea that, you know what, people need something as fundamental as a shower to make a difference in their lives.
It's so, so true. And, you know, you said a few words that, if you don't mind, I just want to get your take on. And we were talking briefly backstage, right? I think as society evolves, and in some cases, rightfully so, and in other cases, maybe it's a stretch or a reach, right? We're learning better how certain populations want to be addressed, right? And admittedly, as someone who doesn't experience homelessness or I don't, unless I work with great organizations like yourself or Journeys or some of the other partners of mine, I'm not around it every day, right? So I'm very much walking on eggshells now. Is it a homeless person? Is it an unhoused population? Like, what? Tell me what you're experiencing actually doing the work on the streets.
That's a great question, honestly, because we all want to be respectful and we all want to, you know, say the right thing. And honestly, there's been a real push to call people, you know, unhoused, or, you know, people experiencing homelessness, things like that, because you want to talk about kind of what's happening to them and not who they are as a person. I remember years ago, I mean, this is, you know, it wasn't uncommon 30, 40 years ago to hear someone referred to as a bum, because, you know, that was what everyone kind of referred to them as. Obviously, that's pretty derogatory and pretty mean. Yes. Today, there are some things, and we use the term, you know, people experiencing homelessness. Most of the people that we serve and that we talk to and that we know who are in that community, they call themselves homeless. They're not so caught up in the labels and things like that. And we honestly don't ever okay, so you're a homeless person, or so you're a person. We don't refer to them when we're talking to them that way, because for us, they're just a person, you know, and that's how we want to build that relationship. And our goal really is to break apart some of those barriers, those things that set us apart, those things that, you know, we say, okay, well, that's them and we're us. And what we want to see is those barriers just break down so that we're all part of the same community.
Absolutely. And so well said, right? And I never considered, but now as you use the word bum, right, I now look back as a youth, and that's how folks were addressed as they were trying to catch a night's sleep on a bench in the park or what have you, right? And so we have come a long way. I think, you know, the work you're doing, and I can't wait to hear more about it now, you know, with Shower Up, is helping break some of those stigmas and tearing down some of those barriers that have been in place to help folks that need a shower or need to wash their clothes, whatever that may be. So how did Shower Up come to be? You've served 7 cities across the United States. Like, this is no small feat. You're kicking butt, if you don't mind. So, like, tell us everything you guys are up to.
Well, I appreciate that. So this all started really in kind of a moment. It was a God moment. It was just one of those moments where you go, okay, this idea pops in your head. And it was this idea that, I wonder if there's mobile showers that could be useful to people who are, you know, on the street, people who are experiencing homelessness. Could we do something like that? And it was kind of in that moment where I really felt like God was saying to me, yeah, I want you to do that. I even argued with him. I argued with God about this because I was working full time. I didn't have time to do this. You know, I didn't know how to do it.
Can I ask a question, Paul?
Yeah.
So you founded Shower Up, if I'm not mistaken, with your wife. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah.
All right. Who wins more arguments, God or your wife? No, I'm just kidding.
But yeah, I often find that they're on the same team.
So funny. Yeah. And so keep going, right? Like, it's just an amazing understanding of what it is you're called to do and putting it into action, right? I think so many people have these ideas and they have these goals to achieve, but they don't allow themselves to. They don't give themselves permission. And you gave yourself permission, giving up a 36-year Christian radio host career, frankly, to take a leap, right? That couldn't have been easy.
It was really challenging because I still had my job, and then we started doing Shower Up. And when we started it, it really was another full-time job. And so I jokingly say that, you know, when I left radio 6 years ago, that I was leaving one 40-hour-a-week job and basically just kind of going, okay, well, now I have one 80-hour week job, because I was working two 40-hour week jobs at the same time. And so this has been the kind of thing where you start doing it, and the more you dig into it, the more you start providing showers. I remember the first time we went out with our mobile shower unit, and it was basically just a converted box truck. We've kind of graduated to trailers now that are specially designed, but we had this box truck built. And the very first time we went out, one of our very first guys to get a shower came out, and I just said, and I don't recommend you do this to people, but I just said, so how was it? When was the last time you had a shower? That's kind of a rude thing to ask somebody, but all right, we were in the middle of all this stuff. So I asked him that. He said, it's been 49 days.
Oh my gosh.
Since I've had a shower. 49 days. That's, okay, again, Illinois public school educated, that's 7 weeks, my math. 7 weeks of no shower. And what really made it special for him was that he had a service dog, and he was able to take his service dog in with him. And we let people do that. And there were a lot of places, most places won't let you take a service dog inside or take a dog inside because they don't want to deal with it. We're okay with that because we're mobile. And so that's been kind of the thing that we've seen now after providing over 80,000 showers for individuals. We've seen kind of a constant thing where people are just so grateful